Our scripture lesson is taken from Numbers chapter 21, verses 4 through 9. This is a strange passage of scripture, perhaps, until we see the tie-in with the third chapter of John, with which we are so familiar. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So, Numbers chapter 21, beginning at verse 4. They traveled from Mount Hor along the route to the Red Sea to go around Edom. But the people grew impatient on the way. They spoke against God and against Moses and said, "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in this desert? There is no bread, there is no water, and we detest this miserable food." Then the Lord sent venomous snakes among them. They bit the people, and many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, "We sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take the snakes away from us." So Moses prayed for the people. The Lord said to Moses, "Make a snake and put it up on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live." So Moses made a bronze snake, put it on a pole, and then when anyone was bitten by a snake and looked at the bronze snake, he lived. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let me pray. Heavenly Father, as I present this brief meditation on Holy Scripture on this very holy day in the church calendar, we pray, Lord, that you would grant truth to come out of my mouth based on Scripture and Scripture alone, but under the anointing and the application of the Holy Spirit, who alone can make the word that we read and hear profitable to us. And we ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to direct your attention to Numbers chapter 21 and verse 8. The Lord said to Moses, "Make a snake and put it up on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live." The first thing I want to say has to do with the context of this. Have you ever thought that being discontent, bitter, grumbling at circumstances is offensive to God? That seems strange, doesn't it? We're in a time when we are apt to grumble very much at our life circumstances. But this is an interesting passage of Scripture. It's part of a series of chapters beginning in Numbers chapter 11 that have to do with God's judgment on his own people as they wander in the wilderness and complain about this and complain about that. And so here they are. They are fed up with the food they're having to eat. They remember the good food they'd had many years ago. Their grumbling, we're told, is against God and against the leader that God had appointed, Moses. Now, there's no one in today's world on earth that's comparable to Moses. The church does have leaders. Those are leaders that are elected by the people. But no one stands in the place of Moses today except one. And we'll see that in a minute. That's the Lord Jesus Christ, who has come as the new Moses of a new covenant. But think with me again. It seems harsh, doesn't it? They grumbled, and God sent poisonous snakes to bite them and kill them. What kind of God is that? I remember a sermon that I preached well over 30 years ago out of Numbers chapter 11. And I entitled that sermon, "God is as mean as hell." I got a lot of negative feedback. My point was this. I would rather stand before Adolf Hitler, Mao Zedong, Joseph Stalin, or any other worldly dictator on the Day of Judgment than Almighty God, apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because I could imagine perhaps joking my way out of it or pleading with them or falling on my face. But let me say that God, the God of the Bible, is a God of love. But if we spurn His overture of love, what remains is His wrath. And God is a God of wrath. I think that one reason why people wonder today about these things, if God is good, He is not God. If God is God, He is not good. That's what Archibald MacLeish wrote in his play, J.B. But I submit to you that God is both good and God, that He is absolutely sovereign over absolutely everything, that not a sparrow falls to the ground apart from Him, and that He is good. But His goodness is expressed in judgment and in grace. I am so grateful for what happened on Good Friday so many years ago, because that is my only hope, that I will come out okay on the day of judgment. But I want us to understand that God is both a God of wrath and a God of love. And if we can't grasp that, then we will always be railing and complaining. Let me say to you what it is to fear God. To fear God is not, once you become a believer, to be afraid that you're going to go to hell. It is that you stand in respect and awe before God because you realize that He is not to be trifled with, that He hears what we say, He knows our thoughts, and He deals with grumbling and griping. And that's what happened in the wilderness. The people grumbled and griped, and God sent poisonous snakes. What kind of God is that? It's the only God who is. All other gods are figments of people's imaginations. And if you look at the world and you face it really, it's this, that is the kind of God there is. You know, people are atheists not because of the creation of the world. No one can look at the order of the universe and deny there's a God. Seriously, honestly, people can suppress that knowledge that is crystal clear from the creation. So why do people turn to atheism? You want to know why? Because living in this world under the providence of God, things do not always go well. In fact, many times, things are very hard and very tragic and very troubling. And that's why people turn to atheism, because in the providence of God, they see how could there be a God who would allow my best friend to die, my child to die, my husband or my father to die. Just this day, my wife and I had a conversation with a friend of ours, with a mask on, and she shared with us how she had lost two friends in the past week to the coronavirus. One was a friend from high school, and the other was a man that she had worked with at Security Sporting Goods in Alexandria. The coronavirus is real. I read all of the kinds of things that people throw up on the internet. Who's behind the coronavirus? Was it this? Was it that? Is this conspiracy true or that conspiracy true? You can go nuts thinking about all those things. But I know who really is behind it. And the person who's really behind it is the Lord God of the Bible. He doesn't personally do it. He works through second causes. And one of those second causes is the evil one who can do only what God permits, and who delights in human suffering. God does not delight in human suffering. He doesn't want you to suffer. He wants you to come to Him and get relief. So what was the relief that God offered to His people in the wilderness wandering as they were being bitten by these snakes? He instructed Moses to make a brass snake. Now, it's interesting, in this one verse, verse 8, the Lord said to Moses, make a snake and put it on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live. That's an interesting Hebrew word. It's not the word normally used. It is the word from which we get seraphim. You may recall Isaiah's vision in Isaiah 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. And he saw around the throne of God six winged creatures called seraphim. M is the plural in Hebrew of seraph. He saw six. He saw six winged seraphs around the throne of God. That's just an interesting thing, isn't it? God is telling Moses to create a seraph, the plural of which is seraphim, and put it up on a pole. As we ponder that word, there's an interesting thing. Are the creatures who surround the throne of our holy God creatures that have some sense of human form, six wings, two to cover their face, two to cover their feet, and two to fly, have some sense of human form, and yet are reminiscent of fiery, burning, that's the sense of this seraph, burning fiery serpents? Ponder that. I'm still pondering it. So here is the solution. God instructs Moses to make a brass snake and hang it up on a pole and lift it up. And then he says that anyone who was bitten by a snake, verse 9, so Moses made a bronze snake and put it up on a pole. Then when anyone was bitten by a snake and looked at the bronze snake, he lived. That's really weird, isn't it? Isn't that an amazing thing, though? All anyone had to do was to look at the bronze snake. If he looked at the bronze snake, he was healed of the terrible pain and agony, the burning agony, the fiery agony of this snake bite in the desert. Look and live. Look and live. Now, that takes us to the Gospel of John. And we find these words in John chapter 3, verse 13. No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came down from heaven, the Son of Man. Now listen to this, verse 14. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. There was a song that was written, look and live, O sinner, look and live. The point is, you don't have to earn your way. The people in the wilderness did not have to earn their way. All they had to do was to look at the bronze snake. And those who looked were cured and healed. That is a great illustration of the way of salvation, which is made possible on this day, this Friday, so many years ago. Look and live. And John goes on to write in verses 16 through 18, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Ponder that for a moment. Just as those in the wilderness were punished by an angry God who is sovereign and yet good, so we live in a world that's under divine chastisement even now in the year of our Lord 2020. Under condemnation. But this is the purpose. God did not send those poisonous snakes so that the people would ultimately suffer, but so that in their suffering they would turn to Him, they would repent, and they would cast themselves on His mercy. And that mercy is exhibited in a brass snake lifted on a pole. And that's what Good Friday is all about. Good Friday is about an invitation to you and to me to look and live. Look on the Lord Jesus Christ. He will forgive your sins. But to fail to do that is to leave yourself under the wrath of God, just as those people in the book of Numbers who did not look died in a burning agony. Is that really the God who is? It really is the God who is. But that God loves you and has made provision for you by sending His own eternal Son into the world to become a human being just like you and me, except He never sinned. So I invite you to join me on Good Friday, this day, to look at the Son of God. And those who look in faith will live and be exempt from the wrath of God, and will have passed from darkness into light, from condemnation into commendation. Won't you look to the Son of God?